and we will be changed. For this corruptible must be clothed with incorruptibility, and this mortal must be clothed with immortality. When this corruptible is clothed with incorruptibility, and this mortal is clothed with immortality, then the saying that is written will take place. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Death, where is your victory? Death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin. The power of the sin is the law. But thanks be to our God who gives us the victory then through our Lord Jesus Christ. So there is this generation that Paul says that was a mystery, that is no longer a mystery, that there will be a generation that will be alive up on the planet when the Lord then comes back. Jesus is one day coming back, and if he were to come right now, then we're all physically alive, and so those of us that are born again then would instantly be changed, we would be resurrected, and we would go into the presence of the Lord and live then for forever. Are you with me? Now, notice here the term. I almost spend a little emphasis dealing with this term now. Jesus uses it, Paul uses it, the Old Testament uses this, uses it, and it describes then really what happens after the experience of death. Death is an experience. Death is going to come one day for us. One of these days where my heart is going to stop, I'm no longer going to breathe air in my lungs, and my physical life is going to stop. Now, what does that mean? What does that look like when I have the experience of death? Does that mean, as Jesus said, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep and I'm on my way to waken him? Do we believe that when the experience of death comes upon us, that it is like closing our eyes and going to sleep at night and we're just there? My being, my entire being is in my body. And when I die one day, when my life ceases, when my physical life ceases, then there I am in the grave. Is that what happens? Do we believe that that our being, our soul, sleeps in the body in the grave? Well, I'm sure some people believe that, but let me deal with it from a different perspective. When we deal with the understanding of humanity in the Bible, if I were to ask you, what makes you human? What makes us human? Well, you know, we could go back and say, oh, we're alive, we have flesh and blood, we have air, we have food, we have all of these things. But we want to go to the Scripture and see what the Scripture says about what makes us human. And so really what makes us human, depending on where you are within this, some say that we are made up of three parts, and some say that we're made up of two parts. Some would say that the human being is a body, that you see my body, and then inside my body is my soul, and right now my soul is speaking to you, you hear my soul, you see my body, and so when I have the experience of death one day, some people believe that both my soul and body then will be asleep in the grave. And my body and soul then will sleep in the grave until the Lord Jesus Christ then comes back to the earth. And when he comes back, there will be this great moment of resurrection when I am awakened, that my soul is awakened, my body is awakened, and I come up out of the grave. Friends, if you believe that, let me say you're okay. That's okay to believe that if you choose to do that. What I believe is that the human being is more made up of a triunity. That when we look at the Scripture, the Bible seems to tell us that we have a body, that we have a soul, and that we have a spirit. That we're really a trichotomy, that we're made up of those three areas. And so what we find is that the body part in the five senses is how we relate to this world and how we're able to interact. And one day that part of me, my body, is going to physically die. And when I physically die, then I believe that my soul and my spirit is connected with my soul, that my soul is going to leave my body and I'm going into the presence then of the Lord. And so the Bible seems to tell us that from the perspective of both the Lord and what Paul says, what the Old Testament says, that at the moment of death and the separation between my soul and spirit and my body, that my soul and spirit then, I continue to live. Friends, I would argue very clearly from the scriptures that the moment that we are conceived, that we are eternal, that I have an eternal soul, you have an eternal soul that will live forever and forever and forever, that our souls then will never die, that we're going to live in eternity somewhere. We're either going to live with the Lord or we're going to be separated from the Lord in the ages of eternity. Notice the word here, then I'm going to move on. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 51, Paul says, listen, I show you a mystery. We will not all fall asleep. Now, friends, I want to spend a few moments now talking about falling asleep. Now, friends, falling asleep is not the same as the experience of physical death. Friends, we're going to die one day. Death is that my life ceases to be, my physical life ceases to be, but not our souls. Friends, our soul then lives on. And I want you to see the Old Testament and what the Old Testament says about this great truth. If you follow longer, let me read this for you. Out of Genesis chapter 47, Genesis chapter 47, and I'm going to pick up reading in verse 27. Genesis 47 and verse 27, and we want to look the idea of the experience of what the Bible says, that when a believer dies, that we're going to, it's like falling asleep. And let me unpack that for just a few moments. Genesis chapter 47 and verse 27. Here Moses writing the Pentateuch, and he said, Israel settled in the land of Egypt in the region of Goshen. They acquired property in it and became fruitful and very numerous. Now Jacob lived in the land of Egypt for 17 years, and his lifespan was 147 years. And when the time drew near for him to die, he called his son Joseph and said to him, if I have found favor in your eyes, put your hand underneath my thigh and promise me that you will deal with me in kindness and faithfulness and do not bury me here in Egypt. When I rest with my fathers, carry me away to Egypt and bury me there in their burial place. And Joseph answered, what you've asked, then I will do. Friends, notice here what Israel, notice here what Jacob is saying. Jacob says, when I die. Friends, that's an experience. That's a real experience that we're all going to have. That's inevitable, unless we are that generation that will be alive when Jesus comes back. Then what? What happens to our soul? What happens to our very being? What is that next experience? And friends, I believe here that that Jacob says that he is going to a place to rest with his fathers. Friends, that's what eternity looks like for us. That the moment that we die in the here and now, once that experience of death comes to me, friends, I'm going to make a transition. My soul is going to leave my body. My soul is going to go into the presence of the Lord. And as long as the Lord is doing what he's doing here today of calling sinners out to believe in him, then all of those who have preceded us in death, they are going to rest in the presence of the Lord God Almighty. Friends, it seems like they have died, but remember that the only part of them that has died is their bodies. Their bodies stay here. They have ceased in physical life, but not their souls. Their souls are resting in the presence of God, and one of these glorious days, they're going to come back with the Lord, and when they come back then with the Lord Jesus Christ, it is then and there that they will be resurrected, and they will come up out of this grave, out of their graves, and they will then live in that resurrected bodies, their resurrected body. One more scripture in the Old Testament. Turn over to the fifth book of the Old Testament, the book of Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy chapter 31, I want you to see here the death of Moses. Deuteronomy 31. We have this experience of Moses. Deuteronomy 31 and verse number 16. I want you to see this concept, and then we'll kind of wrap it up and pull it all together in the New Testament. Notice here, God says, the Lord God says to Moses in Deuteronomy 31 and verse number 16. Notice the words of God. It says, the Lord said to Moses, you are about to rest with your fathers, and these people will soon commit adultery with foreign gods in the land that you are entering. And then he goes on, he tells Moses and gives him instructions. Friends, notice that the Lord God here is the one who's telling Moses, you are getting ready to rest with your fathers. If I turned over, by the way, I didn't get to the death of Moses, but you turn over to actually chapter 33, 34, you really find the death of Moses. It says Moses went up on Mount Nebo, and it was there where he died that the Lord God himself buried Moses. No one knows where the bones of Moses is today and so forth. But what we find clearly is the instruction by God to Moses that you're coming here and you're going to rest. Friends, that's what it looks like in the life of a believer, that once our life ceases in the physical world, that we instantly then go into the presence of God Almighty, and it is there that we rest. By the way, what does resting look like? Well, you think of a person that is asleep, and you think that's exactly what they're doing, right? When you fall asleep, what are you doing? You're resting. And you're anticipating having another day. The idea that if you're sleeping, that you're still into existence, right? You haven't died. If you're home sleeping, you're not dead, but you're still alive. And the idea is that when you're sleeping, that one day you're gonna wake up and you're gonna proceed on then with your activity. And that's the imagery that the New Testament and the Old Testament both gives to us when we think about a believer that dies then in the Lord. Remember what Jesus said, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep and I'm on my way to wake him up. Friends, let me tell you, that's the promise of God today, that we too one day will die. We'll have that experience of death. And yet, if we're this side of the second coming of the Lord, we too will go into the presence of God and we will rest there in God's presence until that great moment of the resurrection that will happen for humanity. Let me show you what that looks like in the New Testament now. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I want you to see what this looks like when the Lord then finally comes back and there is this great resurrection. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 to the end of this chapter. Read along with me, 1 Thessalonians 4:13. The Apostle Paul writing to the church at Thessalonica, and he says, We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, concerning those who are asleep. Notice the term that he uses, those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve like the rest who have no hope. Friends, do we have hope today in Jesus? Man, we have hope in Jesus because when I die one day, when I go through that experience of death, that remember that my soul is going to leave my body and I'm going into the presence of Jesus and I'm going to rest there until this event. Friends, this is the greatest event that this world has ever seen, and this is the moment of the resurrection. There are people today that live under the understanding that death is final. That, friends, that I could stand before a group of lost people and tell them, look, you're going to die one day. And everyone believes that. Friends, there's no one here on planet Earth that is 150 or 160 years old, right? Everyone dies. How sad that is to think of death and thinking of the reality of death without the hope of the resurrection, without the hope of really what Jesus then tells us of what happens the moment that we die and we make that transition into the presence of God Almighty. Paul says, you know, we are people of hope, and we do not grieve like those who have no hope. Verse 14. He says, since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, in the same way, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep through Jesus. For we say this to you by a revelation from the Lord, that we who are still alive at the Lord's coming will certainly have no advantage over those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, and with the archangel's voice, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain alive will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage each other then with these words. Man, what a great order of how this is going to happen. Today we live in a time of the church. We live in the church age. And we're in church today, right? We're having church. We sang great music this morning and lifted our voices and praise to God. And man, we're hearing the word of God being taught, and the invitation will be offered, and people can still receive Christ and so forth. But all of this thing is going to change one day. The church is not going to last forever. Friends, one of these days that this time is going to end. And here it is. This is the event that's going to end the present truth and the present reality of what we're going through. That one of these days, Jesus is coming again. And he's going to come back. And who's going to be with him when he comes back? Friends, it's going to be all of those who have already went through the experience of death, but they're resting with Jesus today. They're in the presence of Jesus, and they're resting there. And yet, when he comes back, the Bible says that they're going to be the first ones that are going to be raised from the dead. That idea of resurrection. Now, friends, I started this morning in John chapter 11, and I dealt with the miracle that Jesus did when he said, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, and I'm on my way to raise him, or to wake him up, right? In some ways, that's an example of the resurrection, but as far as we know, there's only been one resurrected person throughout the history of the church, throughout the history of the world, and who is that? It is the Lord Jesus himself. Now, friends, here it is. When the Lord Jesus then comes back with that great trumpet of the Lord, when it sounds, when it blows, then Jesus is coming back with all of our friends and family members and church members who have recently gone home to be with the Lord, and all down through the last 2,000 years of church history, and they're coming back, and at that moment, he's going to put their souls into their bodies, and their bodies are going to come up out of the grave, and at that very moment, there will be a great resurrection. They'll be resurrected into a life that will never have to die again. You know, the Bible is very clear that says flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Friends, our body here is suitable for this world. I'm a physical being. I live in a physical world. And so therefore, when I'm going to heaven one day, I got to have a new body. There's got to be something different about the body that I have. This body that we have today, as we know, we're getting older and groaning more, and all of the bad parts of sin that's coming upon our lives. But one of these days, it will all be done away with, and it will happen when the trumpet sounds, and Jesus then comes back with all of those who have preceded us in death, and at that great split second, they will be resurrected, and then there will be a generation that will be alive when Jesus then returns. And what great hope that is, because if we're that generation, then we will never go through that experience of death. So the Bible then describes death then for the life of a Christian as a life of resting. That if I were to die today, friends, remember that I don't believe that once I make a transition from this life, my body stays here, my soul leaves my body, goes in the presence of the Lord. Remember that we would have some kind of an intermediate body that would house our souls before the great day of the resurrection, and that's based then upon so many different scriptures in both the Old and the New Testament. Let me close with this verse here, and I'll lead into our invitation. If you want to read with me, I'm turning over to John chapter 14, and to listen to these great words of Jesus. John chapter 14, closing here with these. John 14, 1. Jesus' words here, and he told his disciples, he said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If not, I would have told you. And I'm going away to prepare a place for you. And if I go away to prepare a place for you, I will come back and receive you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also." And he says, "You know the way to the place that I'm going." Lord, Thomas said, "We don't know where you're going. How can we know the way?" And Jesus said to them, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, that no one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus has gone away, and he's been away from this planet for nearly 2,000 years. And what Jesus is doing for us today is he's preparing us a place. And when that place is all finished, the Bible says that he's going to come back for us. And he's going to receive us unto himself. And Jesus said, "You know the way to that place." Friends, do you want to go to that place? Friends, I've been going to that place. I've been walking and getting closer to heaven for more than 35 years of my life. And I know that one day that when I make that transition, that I'm going into the presence of God. And in the end, when God's purposes are all done, that I'm going to live in a resurrected body. Why? Because that is God's design. That's what he has designed. Friends, let me tell you that we have hope today. We have hope in the fact that if I'm on this side of the rapture of the church, and when I go through the experience of death, that, friends, my soul will rest in the presence of God. Friends, I have hope that even if I go into the presence of God through death, that I'm going to come again and have a resurrected body. Friends, if you're here today and you don't have hope, you don't believe in Jesus, then I offer you this gift of invitation, this great gift of grace, this gift of eternal life that you can receive today as a free gift. We don't earn it, we don't deserve it, but it is something that God offers to us today. My wife told me a few days ago that she had a dream recently, and she told me, and she had a smile on her face, and she said that she dreamed in her dream that she saw her father, and her father, who went to heaven about 4 years ago, he was sitting at a table, and she was able to go up to her dad, and she told me that he stood up and he hugged her and gave her one of those long hugs that he always gave her, and she had a smile on her face, because we realize that he's still alive today. We know that one day that embrace will be there again. And we're looking for that. Come to Jesus if you're here today and you've never believed in him. Come to him. Believe in him. Receive him, because he has these things planned out for us. Let us pray. Sweet Jesus, we thank you today on this Easter Sunday morning that you went to the cross for us, and that you gave your perfect life for our imperfect beings, for our sinful beings. And Heavenly Father, we thank you that in your plan and your design, that you have given us comfort, knowing that, Lord, you're coming back one day, but we don't know when, Jesus. And Lord, if we have to go through that experience of death, Lord, we know that you will send your angels for us, and that we will be transported into your presence, and we will be there resting until that great day of the resurrection. Jesus, we believe that we're close to your coming, and you've given us all of those road signs to look at. Lord, you've shown us, Lord, that the world that we live in, that you tell us that it will be in decline, that, Lord, that we're in apostasy, that we're falling away. And, Lord, we see that more and more every day and every week that we live. And, Lord, we know that when we take all of those things together, your coming must be soon. And, Lord, thank you that you've allowed us to be alive at this time in your history to see that great event of the resurrection, the rapture of the church that will one day come upon this world. Lord, if there's one here today that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, and Lord, they struggled with that experience of death. Lord, I know that you can take that away and that you can put peace in our lives, that you can take that conflict and that unassurance away, Lord, and you can fill us with your love and your presence. And I pray that your Spirit would have that freedom to draw and to call and to bring people in into relationship with you. And we give you this invitation, and we pray that you'll do your work here in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand with me, please, this morning. Terry's going to lead us an invitation. Come today. Receive Christ.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed. God.